Wow, isn't it awesome to be in the presence of God? You know what? And we have the freedom to sit with open doors. So just close your eyes with me, please. Heavenly Father, we love you. We love you, God. And thank you, God, that you had an appointment with us today, Father, to come and reveal your secrets, to come and speak into our lives, to come and soften our hearts, and just remind us, Lord, about your love. Because it's your love, Lord, that will change the world. It's your love, Lord, that saved us. And we love you, Lord. Amen. I have a question. What matters in life? Anyone can answer me. What matters? Mothers also matter. But let's go a little bit deeper. What matter in life? What matters? Relationships. But God, the Word, His Word, and His Word is the bread of life. You can feast around the table on roast chicken and potatoes and everything, but that will pass. The bread of life, God, matters. If you brought your Bibles along, please open it with me at Psalm 23. I'm going to read, it's a new King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. There's no end. Forever. And I want to encourage you tonight when you get home, or maybe tomorrow morning before school, before studies and your job, please go and read Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. And for me, it was such an amazing revelation this week to really see that there's a purpose why Psalm 23 is right in the middle of 22 and 24. Because 22 reminds us about all the afflictions of life. But then Psalm 24 is about triumph. So 23 in the middle offers us three things. And I am going to try and be very obedient, Amo. This is a lengthy 50-minute sermon, and I'm going to do this tonight with it. So bear with me. The first thing David showed us in Psalm 23 is God is our provider. He emphasizes provision, and that you will find in verses 1 to 3. And he shows to God as the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So what does the shepherd do? He guides, he protects, he provides. So he goes ahead of time. He makes sure there's enough feed for the sheep. He makes sure there's a kraal for the sheep tonight to be kept safe from all the wild animals. So the sheep can go to bed at ease. They can have a peaceful night. And this is what God offers us. God is our shepherd. He is our provider. The shepherd also makes sure he leads the sheep on the right path. If you keep your eye on your shepherd, if you are the sheep, I can guarantee you, you will be on the right path. You will be on the right path. We as people also have a big responsibility. And even on my way to church tonight, God spoke to me and said, but if we understand discipleship correctly, this is for me the guideline for discipleship. Because God entrusts people to us as well. So in the discipleship relationship, you are the shepherd guiding the new believer to see Jesus. You are reflecting God's goodness and grace to that new believer. The second thing David showed us in Psalm 23, verses 4 to 5, is that God protects us. Oh my, you know what? I remember when I was a child, the security I experienced at night, to know I can go to bed. My dad locked the doors, and I grew up on a farm. Those years, you never even removed the keys from the car. It was so safe. But my dad was there. His presence made me sleep well. Now, that was when I was a child. And now, God is our protection. He puts his angels around us. He is the shepherd taking care of his sheep. We are his sheep. But in those two verses, God also explained to us that he prepared a table. What do you do when I invite you to my house for a meal? I would prepare food, but I will also prepare the table. I will make sure there's a tablecloth and plates and knives and forks and all the nice things because we need it. God even prepared a better table for us. Here we are, where we are tonight, we are sitting at the table in God's presence. He is our host. He opened the door for us tonight and say, come sit at my table and feed. We were fed tonight with what God has prepared for us. And I want to encourage you. In those two verses, for me, there's also a reflection towards the gifts God gave us, the gift of hospitality. Be kind to the people God sent on your path. When you meet with a friend for coffee, and there's no cookies and biscuits and the rest, it's okay. But open yourself, that gift of hospitality God gave you. When you welcome people into your room, into your house, welcome them as the best host because you reflect God. And this is not a nice to have, it's a command God gave us. God prepared this table for David. And what happened at that table? David was anointed with the oil from God. And that anointing oil today in the New Testament, after Jesus came, that is now the reflection of the Holy Spirit. So we are continually anointed with the oil of God. He was anointing us tonight with his presence of the Holy Spirit. Do you want to receive it? It's there. And when we sit down at the table with God, we are conquerors. We are victorious. We are no longer victims. The third thing David showed us in that psalm in verse 6 is the preservation God offers us. It ends off with this expression of faith and hope. Oh my, isn't it amazing that God says, and you shall live in my house forever. He invites us into his presence to sit at his table, but forever. There's not a limit. It's not, I'm inviting you over for supper. You can stay for breakfast and for lunch and for supper, and it's forever. There's no end. And during that verse, when David wrote that, it also came to me and God revealed that God is our rescuer. He's not only the provider and the protector. He's also our rescuer. He leads and he restores. I want to encourage you. Don't think, Psalm 23, I know it. Go and read it and feast on these words from God. Because out of this scripture, God also showed me, when we have God and we sit at his table, we will receive the fullness of Christ. And the fullness of Christ is that Jesus also prepared a table for us. He can make tables, he provides tables even in the wilderness. And if you sit here tonight and you think, something is wrong. The rest of the people around me are experiencing something. I don't have it. And you find yourself in the presence, in the wilderness. I want to urge you tonight, don't leave unless you also get to this table where you can feast with God. Please don't. God laid those tables even in the wilderness. So when we are in the presence of God, we receive the fullness of Christ. And with that fullness of Christ, there's a freshness. He anoints my head with oil. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21 to 22 says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. It's a guarantee. Nobody can take it away from you. So thank you, God, for that freshness in the anointing. What is the third thing we find in the fullness of Christ? Is freedom. It's freedom. Forever we can be free. My cup runs over. There's not a little footnote saying only for a year or for 10 years. It runs over. It's forever. There's freedom. John 10 verse 10 says, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Abundance is God's heart. His generosity is in his heart, and he gave it to us. And in a nutshell, if you think about Psalm 23, it's provision, it's protection, it's perseverance. My challenge to you tonight is, and even if you're at school, if you're a student, if you're a young working adult, it applies to us all, even if you're from America. It applies to us all. What does your table look like? What do you do with the table God gave you? If you have a family here, if you are part of the family, I want you to go back home and think about, is the table something you sit around only once a year when it's Christmas or when your granny come and visit? Spend time around the table. When you go home for the holiday, encourage your parents to sit down at the table to break bread. Break bread with your family. Create a new custom in your family of this table God prepared for you. Build memories. If I may share one of my memories, if I think about a table, I picture myself when I was about 5 years old. My mum grew up on a farm outside Oudtshoorn. And we used to come from way up in Potchefstroom to visit my grannies. And we would sit around this massive table. And after supper, we will have huisgodsdienst. So my grandfather had this massive family Bible. And he would read to us in Hoogholland. Hoogholland, I'm sorry for the pommies, you can't understand that word. I don't know how to explain it to you. So it's not Dutch. It was a very deep, high Dutch. And as children, we didn't understand it. But we basked in that presence of God. And you know what? That is my heritage. Seed was sown around that table, even if I could not understand that high Dutch. What God gave you is a table. He gave you the table. He prepared the table for you. And that's why we want to pause tonight and say, the table matters, not only in the physical, but in the spiritual. If you are hungry, just leave what you're busy with and go and sit at the table where God is in his presence. If you feel overwhelmed, stop the thoughts and go and sit at the table with God. If you have troubles, if you don't know how to make your budget work, go and sit at the table. God has prepared a table for you. And that promise says it is forever. Forever. And it will not stop with you. It will go on to your generations. It's a promise in Deuteronomy. God gave it to you. If you love him with your whole heart and soul, it will go over to the thousands of generations. And I want to end with that. Because I just believe God really has something very special to do tonight in our hearts still. But I want to ask you, please, is there someone sitting here with a left ear that's not nice, causing you some pain or something? A left ear. Nobody. Cool. The whole time while I was standing here, it came and went to my ear. I would like to pray for you, please. Can I do it now? Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that Monica's ear is important enough for you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you use us as broken vessels. Father, and we just anoint Monica's ear now, and we speak healing into her ear, Father. Father, I also pray that you will open her spiritual ears, Lord, even to hear more of you. And we thank you for healing tonight. In the name of Jesus, our salvation, our Savior. Thank you, Jesus.